Yes, thank you for those beautiful songs that were sung and picked. Just pray the Lord would bless them to the message as well. First off, I want to say thank you. Last week with the nursing home there at Hamilton Place, there's a group of young folks come out, three, four girls and a couple guys, and it was so, I would say, the sunshine of the meeting was the youth that was there, and the older people just so adore that. They just appreciate that. So thank you. And I'd like to pray for Jason as he goes after today at 1:30 to speak there. Let's just bow, stop at this moment and pray for him. Oh, gracious God and Father, we thank you for your love, your care, your plan of salvation. Just pray for our brother Jason as he goes and brings your word to these folks, Father, that they may find encouragement, they may find new life through the word spoken. They may have understanding in a real way of what the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth for. Father, help him with clarity of thought as he speaks, and for receptive hearts, open ears, that the word can be enter in and take understanding, take root. So just pray for each and every part. And this message too, Lord, just thank you for your word, the freedom we have in this land to gather in this way, the beauty of the day, much more the beauties of your word and of your son. So we adore you in Jesus. In that precious name I pray, amen. It was a real encouragement through the week, hearing those of you that are praying, brothers and sisters. I want to say that middle of the week or part near the end of the week, my dad called and said he knew I was speaking this Sunday morning. He said, I'm praying for you, but also greetings from Dad, and he's here right now in spirit praying as well over there in Belleville. So greetings from my dad. Also, like to say thank you for all those that are not only supporting in prayer, but financial ways, in encouragements, in practical ways, things, physical things. Just thank you very much. A little bit of update. This is our 75th year anniversary happening with New Tribes America, and there's one here in Canada as well. So in July, we do have a brochure. It's like a special 75th anniversary magazine. We'll try to get each one of you one of them. We have them with us. We'll try to get them to you in your mailbox. And if you don't have time for reading something like that or find it's of no use, please give it back and we'll pass it on. Or pass it to someone you know that would have time or be interested in reading it. So that'll be in July, and it'll be busy coming up to then, prepping. They're trying to do, years ago there was a Wycliffe one at Garrett's farm. It's a promotional, but also what those little planes could do in the field. And there was a huge gathering there in, I think it had a fairly new shed. And I remember the thing, event, in the sense they're planning to choose our farm, but we had trees in the way, and Garrett's farm is right out there. Well, that's Dan's place now. But anyway, it was right out in the open, and it'll be like that. There'll be a helicopter flying in for that from Arizona, I think. So there'll be free rides for that. Just pray for things to flow smoothly. I'm sure it'll be a hectic time for everything to work. All right, we'll get into the Word, and this is a continuation of Wednesday night that here at Listfield Bible Chapel, they're going through the Ephesians, and I didn't finish up in Ephesians 5. And this is about walk. What a blessed song that is when we walk with the Lord that we sang earlier on. Trust and obey. And we'll get into Ephesians 5. As Steve was telling that story about the rebar, this word trust is, looking it up in the Strong's, is like it to roll on, to lean on. And we were having, I think it was Joy's graduation in Papua, and an earthquake hit. And the instant the building started rocking, the the things on the wall started going like this. And it was like a multi-purpose room, high building, 14 feet high. And it was holding 200 of us. And I'm thinking, get out of the building. And then I sat quieted. No, this building's been made with rebar. It's been made for earthquakes, specs. I could just rest in that. And sure enough, after a few seconds, it was over. But it was a real application of trusting in, relying on. All right, we'll get into reading here and do Ephesians 2. I'm looking at the word walk through this chapter 5. It comes out seven verses, 8 times. So it just starts off in the book there in time past, chapter 2, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So this is going on, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And here's the word walk in verse 2 and verse 10. And before I go any further, I wanted to look up the Strong's on that. It's like our journey. What is your journey today? There's a phrase today in common culture, one's journey. In the Strong's light, to make one's way, to progress. Also, to make due use of opportunities. That was the quick explanation of the word. And in the Hebrew, for to live, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself, to pass one's life. And that's kind of the quick meaning of the word walk. And Strong's has it to tread all around, walk at large. Especially, I'm thinking of an older person, to be able to walk. So as proof of the ability, and figuratively to live, to deport oneself, follow as a companion follows, go, be occupied with, as in walk about. So those are that's the Strong's meaning of the word. And I like looking at meanings of words, especially after learning another language. Even this word go, the word when you learn these key words in other languages, working with a group of people, I would say ayo. And if there's anyone here that knows Indonesian, that means let's go. And it's almost like a command. Well, once you learn that word in a group with the Moi, I learned that in the Moi language. Well, all of a sudden, the group just got going. And I pointed that to one guy to get the group going. And what a difference that would make when you could communicate. Anyway, we have the further references to walk. Turn over the page to Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. And this is a vocation. It's not a vacation. It's oftentimes a suffering time. Life is not easy. It's God's divine invitation is the thought there, to walk worthy of that vocation. Why or what's the basis? We've embraced his salvation. Don't resist his love. Don't resist his mercy. But it's his divine invitation to walk worthy of that vocation. He's rescued us and reconciled us. The next one we have is verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So here we've had the word used, walked, two different ways. We walked in the futility of our mind, darkness in chapter 2. And here again, the contrast of walking in darkness, walking in the flesh, walking without understanding, and then we come to walking in the light. Walk not as the pagan walk in the darkness and futility, the vain futility of their minds. And then on to the chapter that we're going to get at to, verse 2. And before I do that, a review of chapter 4, there's a key to Christian living that took me a long time to grasp, and that was in chapter 4, verse 22. If you were at the Bible study, this is kind of what was dwelt on for introduction. That ye put off. There's three phrases here. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Do you and I realize that the old man that we follow is corrupt? So that needs to be put off. And that's a constant day-by-day struggle for myself. Just it's learning and it's just relearning. Been there, done that. Sometimes I feel. The next step is be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How does that happen? So there's put off, be renewed, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Live connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. I find myself so often in, resisting God's kindness or resisting God's urging to do this in the flesh. So put off that thought. Be renewed is the application. How? In the spirit of your mind. So put on the new man, which after God is created in right living, righteousness, and true holiness. This is living sanctified or set apart. All right, we'll come into chapter 5 then. And we had crossed these. There's walk in love, walk as children in light, and walk circumspectly. We're just about to get into verse 2 there. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and that's our example, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We're talking about suffering in the opening. None of us like to suffer. And yet, this is the picture we have here. The word there, be therefore followers of God in verse 1 as dear children. Followers is the word imitators in the Greek. And one fellow I was talking to at work, he said, I don't like that word. I don't like this mimic idea. You're just mimicking this clown or something like, no, it's the idea of a reflection. If we get time to, we'll get later on to that. But the reflection of what? Of love. Are you walking in love? And that's the picture we have of Christ. Christ delighted to do the Father's will. Do I delight to do his will? And he gave up his rights. And why did he suffer? Why did Jesus suffer? Maybe that was a question earlier on, to redeem us. Maybe there's someone in your life that needs that glimmer that you need to suffer for, that hope. Whatever that may be, God has his purpose in everything. God's sovereign. Whether we suffer or are in enjoying life in, as it were, in paradise. And then it gets on to the next one we have here, walk as children in light. This is the opposites. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And it goes on, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. That goes back to verse 24 of chapter 4, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Here was the same thought again. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And we had gotten into verses 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And this proving is that it stands the test. Well, who are examples in our previous history of the scripture? Is Abraham, is David, the man after God's own heart, and Paul. But our biggest example is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have them as examples before us. Then on to the next one. That finishes up the word walk in this. And then we get into verse 15. This is kind of where we ended off on our Bible study. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. None of us likes to be the fool. If there's a brunt to a joke, we sure don't want to be it. And yet sometimes that happens. Walk circumspectly. This is the word exactly, very exactly. Walk with purpose. How? The right way, the holy way, God's way. So that needs to be a focus of our mind, and as it were, if you're going to run a race, you don't schedule that day to go to the London Fair. No, the race is the important, and I'm thinking Olympic race. You're not going to miss that for anything. So you can do without the London Fair for a day and run that race. So circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How do we walk wisely? We have some verses from Proverbs that and Psalms as well too. I didn't write them down here, and just Psalm 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord. Let's read that. That to walk in the fear of the Lord is what causes us to walk holy. So, there's some beautiful verses here. It's actually a song. Sometimes we sing it. Starting at verse 7, the love of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Here, this fear is one, it's a reverential fear. It's not, in the sense, a phobia fear, although that's another use of that word. Am I in fear of guilt? To me, that's the trigger of the phobia. Am I in a fear of obedience? And that's reverential trust, reverential fear. Along with that, God abhors evil. And so we have this this hatred of evil. We must grow in this hatred, this idea of hatred of evil in our being, in our spirit walk. So trust the Lord there, along with the hatred of evil. Also Proverbs 9. Just had written these down in Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This one. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. It's one thing to have knowledge. The Gnostics had that. Be careful with knowledge. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We want to have understanding. And wisdom. So, do we really understand, grasp who the Lord God is? And in answer to that, I just want to read some verses that have been memorized in BMA in chapter 55. I'll start at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We'll stop there. Do we really grasp who the Lord God is, the supreme being, the creator of all? I'm afraid I don't. And I just pray that God will give us an understanding of who he is. On to verse 16-17, there in chapter 5. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeem is the something that's lost. So make up for lost time. I wrote a little note in my Bible here that's buy up the opportunities that come your way. Why? Because the days are evil. There's evil all around us. Wherefore, be not ye unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And sometimes I get asked, what is the will of the Lord? And there's actually a limited amount of verses in the Bible. What is the will of God? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And it's pertaining to the three sets of three in Galatians 5, 22, 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's so simple. This is the will of God. Apply those in your life and you'll find out what the will of God is. Giving thanks comes up later in verse. I'll just stop. I want to cover this. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Another word in another translation is slipping me right now. It's to do with wasted. And it reminded me of the story of the prodigal son. He had the time, these years of his life, and he had this funds from his father. He wasted all. So waste the funds, wasted his life, and that's what wine does. This is in excess, and there's a key thought there. The excess of wine, it changes the body, totally takes control. You have no physical control of your, if you're drunk, of driving, of seeing things right, and it makes you immobilized. Well, that's how we are to be in spirit. Let the spirit take control in the same way wine does. Well, but be filled with the spirit. This word filled, this is kind of where we ended off on the Wednesday night, was to the brim, even to overflowing. Well, that sounds a lot like Galatians 5, verse 24. There's no sin in excess of that filling. Just read but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The picture is there is no excess of these nine characters. So, be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Instead, what are we to do? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And it's beautiful. There's a time or two, there's a lot of dishes that Crane brings when your house sitting over there. And it takes a while. But there's times that they're singing. And my, the time just flew and the dishes were done. Well, we can speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns. And the phrase to me, mental image, is you are spiritually dancing before the Lord. And the corrupt pictures of Herodias before in that king picture. But we're doing that to the Lord when we're singing in spiritual songs and making melody. It doesn't have to be out loud even. Here it's saying in your heart. We had gotten stuck with the boulders. This is the 10-day camping trip I had. That was the best camping trip of my life, bringing this dozer into Papua in this jungle village. And it was so stuck, it was just buried in the mud there. And we got the bulldozer out and lost the track off of it. Then we finally got it back on. Oh, we were a mud mess. And Dear Grant, no, one of the helpers, I had five helpers there. We got this chain up on the dozer on dry land and started pushing, and it was spinning away and spinning away. And Derek was humming this song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is my." And he was pushing behind that trailer for all he was worth, a young fella. And he's probably pushing 200 pounds worth, maybe five. And the natives thought he spirited that trailer out of the mud just by doing this to it. Well, I thought it was ridiculous, but that's their culture. That's their mindset. We are spiritually dancing before the Lord when we're singing and making melody in our hearts. Again, giving thanks always for all things unto God, and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have the thankful heart. When? Always. How much? All things. And we have the names of God, the Father, Lord Jesus Christ. And I just looked these up just for namesake. God, it speaks of the God of the universe. Lord, you have the ruler, high one. We have Father. Well, how can we call God our Father? Well, he had a son, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can call God our Father as well. And I can't do justice to explaining these words. It'll take a study in the Hebrew and also in the Greek to fully come out with what these words are meaning. In the Pume, they didn't have a word for God. And it came out like this. The Pume word turned into three words. He's your Lord, he's your owner, he's your boss. The Lord, as in sovereign, he's sovereign over all. The owner, he made you, he created you. It's like that little boat that boy made. And he's your boss, he's your master. Listen to him, obey him. So that was the simply put version of the Pume word, Lord, owner, boss. And sometimes I use that in prayer too, that he is our Lord, owner, boss. So he's the only true God, and the God is the Godhead. God means a deity, and in this case, the supreme, no one above him, deity. In the Greek, it came out divinity. The word divinity came out. Who are we to say no to this divinity, to refuse to obey him? Well, I'm afraid I often do. And pray for me, and I trust that you too will learn. We get in the next verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's really hard to submit. It's suffering to self to submit. I didn't realize how selfish and how self-centered I was till I got married, and then realized, oh, that was a selfish trait, and I'm still learning that. And this is kind of the introduction to this next body here. So the letter changes here to the sense of submit and talks to husbands, wives, picture of Christ, the church. So we have this comparison of the head of the church is Christ. The head of the marriage is a husband. In the marriage picture is the husband. And we'll read it through. Submitting yourselves, one in verse 21, to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, and with the washing, that he might cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own, to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I have to quickly go through here. I've underlined one word in the sense, or highlighted one word, that the key to this, what does Christ do? This is husbandry. Husbandry was a course I could have taken at Guelph, and it's the section, if you were going through the Guelph University there, for farming. And for farming, you're taking care of livestock, you're nurturing those animals in the best way that you know how to see them flourish. In plants, you get rid of the weeds. So the picture here is of the husband to nourish and cherish his wife. And it commands, there's a command there to love. It says it different times over. And it's like, I was trying to balance, see which one's being said more. It's pretty even. The word husband, the word wife. I had counted them. I forget the exact count now. But the picture here is how Christ loves and cherishes us. Do we have enough air in this world to live through the day? Well, yes, praise God, we do. He made this world. He created it so we could have water. We could have air to breathe. We could have food to eat. And all these things, God has shown his care for us. And the huge picture is, it says, great is the mystery. And I don't say that I fully comprehended or attained to the things that Paul is talking about here. This in verse 32, this is a great mystery. And God has rescued us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, by his Holy Spirit, every one of us can be filled. Every one of us can have a sense of that presence of the Holy Spirit. And in the picture, Christ is the head of the body. There's a body picture here. And we are, as it were, the rest. The word is limbs. We are the rest of the body. We are connected. And that's where that phrase comes in. We are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bone. That's a phrase from Genesis. Well, God put Adam to sleep. It was not good that Adam should be alone. Man should be alone. There's no suitable helper for him. So the picture is God took a rib out of Adam and there formed Eve. And Adam says, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. He says, wow, this is one person I can fellowship with. Another one, another being like me. And in thinking about this, God, there's the parable I'd shared with one time before about the wife that had seven husbands. They all died. The Sadducees, now whose wife is she? Well, God doesn't look at it that way. To him, they're all alive. Luke 20, verse 38, if you want to read it. Well, God already saw Eve in Adam as one before she was even created. And that's the picture. We are in Christ, the body. That's what God sees. God sees Christ. And even though I have limitations, I have willful sinfulness, God sees Christ. And he is the head. And that's who God looks at. It's just another way of looking at it. But it's a great mystery. And to Nicodemus, how can one be born again? born from above, born from God? Well, it's accepting, believing, trusting in what God's word is saying. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Have you realized that fact? Guilty before a God full of wrath. God placed that wrath on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have I applied the blood? And that's the blood of Christ. So there, the picture, we are one in Christ. And the picture there is when there's unity in a husband, wife, there's physical union there. There's beauty in that. And that's God's creation. So back to this word, the wrap-up, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. That's not easy. It calls on setting aside your personal inclinations, your personal desires. And yet, the more your husband loves you, the more you want to submit to that. And it works the other way, too. The sweeter my wife is, the more I want to love her. You know, in this world, it goes the other way around. The more cranky she is, the more unloving I want to be. And in the book, it says that's the crazy cycle. And we sometimes get in this crazy cycle in the marriage book, Love and Respect. And there's another one, too, recommend the five love languages. Years ago, that was the new one for me. Words of affirmation, of there's affection, there's admiration, there's gifts that it talks about in Gary Chapman's book. Another one, if you get a chance to read it, fall in love, stay in love. Have we lost that or in our own marriages? But more so, am I in love, in Christ's love? And that's, to me, this is, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. And when there's a loving, in love relationship happening, it's a beauty to see. I want to close in a bit of an object lesson. I brought a flashlight along, and I haven't tried it in an auditorium like this, but I got a little, one of these little phone selfie holders, and I'll put a mirror in it. And I'd like to see this. Are you therefore a mirror of God, a reflection of God? And if I have a little LED light here. I find them kind of hard to look at, but I use it for mechanics. But the light is shining on that mirror, but it's the dark side. And is that the way your life, my life, is to other people? Can you see much of a reflection? Well, if I turn that mirror around and I do this to it, we get a whole lot of light. It's almost a split in image other than some dirt on the mirror of what the light is. And to me, that was a picture of what be therefore followers of God as dear children. I would like to close in some verses from Ephesians 4 as a prayer, or 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.